What's going on, everybody? I'm Johnny Brook. Welcome to episode number 2 of the Crafted Podcast, a weekly podcast all about making stuff by hand, woodworking, metalworking, leather, electronics, and more. I'm joined by my co-host, James Wright from the Wood by Wright Show. How you doing, James?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing good, again with that creepy intro. And I'm also joined by Zach from ZH Fabrications. What's going on, Zach?
Hey!
So in case you guys missed, last week we had our inaugural episode. We're all really happy with the way it came out. If you missed it, definitely check it out and let us know what you think. We've gotten a lot of great feedback so far from the audience and the people who listen to it. In case you're wondering, the podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Podcast Store, SoundCloud, and pretty much everywhere podcasts are available. If you want to learn more about the podcast, check out our website. It's craftedpodcast.com. We live stream every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And also give us a follow on social media. It's at Crafted Podcast. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And last, one more thing. If you want to help the show and help us get in front of more ears, I guess, check us out on iTunes and leave us a review. That is super helpful. Evidently, iTunes puts a big emphasis on reviews and ratings. So if you want to help support us, definitely leave us a review. So I guess let's go ahead and talk about what we've been working on. Who wants to start us off this week? Zach?
Well, I just finished the chandeliers that I've been working on for the brewery. They turned out pretty well.
Yeah, those are awesome.
A lot of work. Thanks. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with them. So I get to deliver those tomorrow and get some money, which is
good.
How
big are those actually? It was kind of hard to see scale by that.
Man, they're wine barrel kegs, so they were bigger than what I thought a keg would be. I guess they're bigger than like a bourbon barrel. So they're let me stand up. I don't know how tall. They're like a little over my waist.
Wow. Oh.
They're like almost, they're about hip height, and I'm 6 foot tall, so
wow. Yeah, that's pretty big.
That'd be sweet to see hanging.
So where is that going? Is that in a brewery or?
Yeah, that's going in the same brewery that I did the wall sconces for. I don't know if you saw those kind of
nice
spirally tube thingies. So they got those installed yesterday or the day before on their wall. So tomorrow I'm going to drop off the hanging lights, and I'll probably film the final scene for the wall sconces. So finally I'll be able to start posting some of the content I've been working on for the past months. So I have like 4 videos, I think, that I'm waiting for the install. So that's going to happen. Then maybe Halloween, I think I might shoot the last scene for the barrels. And so it's all coming together. It's like I had to rebuffer for all my stuff, but that's what I've been working on. I'm about to start the next commission project for three big tables for somebody. So possibly some slabs. We'll see what happens. So a lot on the plate.
Nice, man. Yeah, that stuff's coming along really nice. I'm excited to see what it looks like in the brewery. You know, it's always one thing to see it in your shop, but then once you kind of take it to the client, that's really an awesome feeling. So, James, how about you, man? What you been working on?
Well, I've been doing a lot of editing. The last couple weeks, I've had several. I've actually been kind of getting ahead, so I now have all of the videos edited for the next 4 weeks.
Wow.
And then I've been working on one special project that I wish I could talk about, but I really can't. The few people in the I Like to Make Stuff group on Facebook have seen it, but it's one of the coolest things I have ever built, and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, man, that
I can't
turned
talk
out
about it. And it's killing
so
me.
Cool.
We don't even get a teaser.
Oh, I saw it. You're just behind the times, Zach. You need to be on Facebook more.
I need to do a lot of things more. I'm still trying to figure out where our Q&A chat is right now. It's under the episode 1, is it?
No.
Okay. If you go to craftedpodcast.com/live.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Okay. All right. I forgot. Well, maybe we help somebody else out who's listening live.
Well, if they're listening live, they probably...
They're listening live. They've already went there.
They already know.
I'm going to play that off like a joke.
Yeah. Edit point. Anyway, so that thing turned out super cool, James. That final shot where you kind of get to see the reveal of, you know, what you kind of hid for the rest of the video was just... That was money.
Oh, wait until you hear the voiceover on it. It is... it gave my wife chills and tears running down her cheeks. So I'm thinking it will do well.
Nice.
Tears of joy or tears of
horror.
Well, I won't go into that.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, that's really
cool.
It's
just been a lot of time at the computer mostly, but, I think the editing will be worth it. So if you want to know what I'm looking at, we have to wait till Saturday. Sorry.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Or I guess cool. If you hear this and it's been posted, it will already be live.
True. Yeah, if you're hearing this on Wednesday, then check out James's channel to see this secret project. So you're 4 weeks ahead now? Is that what you said on videos?
Yes, I have almost all my videos edited and ready to go for the next 4 weeks.
That's awesome, man.
You're that guy of our group. You're like the
you're the Bob of our group.
You're the
boss.
Yes.
And then on top of that, on my channel, I have 3 videos a week. So that's, you know, the next 12 videos.
That's crazy, man. Well, that's awesome. I mean, it's a great feeling to get even one or two ahead. I mean, I think I've got 2 in the chamber now. And, man, it just relieves so much stress. The first couple weeks where I was doing this full time, I just felt like I was drowning. Because, you know, if you do any project that's at all involved, it's going to take you more than, you know, 4 days, because then you got to edit the video, so that's, you got to give yourself another couple days, and then like the weekend. So it's really nice to be a couple ahead.
That's really the big reason why I'm doing this, is because I have 2 goals. Number one, to get the dresser done by Christmas, and I still have a ton left to do on that. And then number two, I have to make all the Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Anytime you make the Christmas presents, you know, you're making 40 of one thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just for hand tools, making 40 is
that's terrible.
40 times making one. It doesn't make, you don't get any efficiency by doing multiples.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do for Christmas this year, man. One of these wide belt sanders popped up on Craigslist here this week, and it's $1,800, which is a lot, but man, the efficiency I would gain, I think it's like 20 inches, and it's got one side is open, so I could do 40-inch like pieces through it at once, basically. You know, just turn it around after one half goes through. And, man, I just on all these tabletops and cutting boards and anything like that, the wide belt would be crazy. And it's really actually pretty cheap. I mean, if you price out a consumer drum sander, you're looking at like $1,400. Yeah. So... for a way better machine, it's not that bad. But man, the space is the big thing to me, because
you know what's
going to
happen though. You're gonna get that, and then somebody's going to commission you to do a 42-inch wide table.
True. Yeah. Well, then I would just pass it through before gluing it up in 2 halves. You know,
how glue ups work, man. Yeah. You'll have like a little.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have a microscopic.
Yeah, this was already, that was like my shower thought. I was like looking at Craigslist, saw this thing, and then like all day yesterday, my brain is just turning. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to get this like 50-inch piece and not be able to use this dang thing. And I was already thinking of that exact thing. It's funny you say that.
It's funny. I mean, I think I might have mentioned it last week, but I remember when I built my workbench, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to build an 8-foot workbench. I'm never going to use it. My first commission project was a 8-foot long table.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, if I only had one more inch on this, I could clamp like a, you know, so I had to get a little creative, but that's just the way it works.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing my Rubeau at 6 feet. And with a lot of this furniture stuff I've been doing lately, I don't know. I mean, 6 feet kind of fits. I have this weird bump out in my garage, which is kind of where my workbench sits. That's where all like my pegboard and clamps and stuff are. And so a 6 feet bench, a 6 foot long bench would fit really well there, especially with an end vise. I don't have any vices on my current workbench, so I don't have to really consider the whole vise thing. But I don't know. I'm kind of torn because, yeah, I mean, just like what you said, this conference table I just did, it was 7 feet long, and it was hanging off the bench I have already. And, you know, I don't want to go shorter or worse. So, anyway.
I'm excited to release my the big industrial table that I did, that 8 foot table. It's because there's some pretty clever, creative stuff I did in that video that I'm kind of proud of, like manhandling that thing by myself, getting it on the table. It was like Stonehenge for me in there.
Yeah, you got to get tricky for sure.
Yeah.
So, well, I have been working on, I just started today, this, it's a farmhouse style buffet cabinet. So, real kind of Anna White looking thing. It's a friend of mine wanted it. He sent me a picture of an Anna White project and he was like, can you build this for me? And so I figured I would. And, you know, it's interesting because this is not really my style as much, but it's kind of cool to, you know, build something different and not like with a welded base and just totally different than the projects I've been doing lately. And it's also really nice because I went to the home improvement store this morning to buy materials and like it's already almost totally done. And that is amazing because I don't have to mill any lumber and I don't have to get out the welder. And, you know, there's so many things that totally kill your efficiency when you're doing these other projects that I've been doing. And man, it's been pretty cool. I mean, pocket holes to the rescue.
I think we should all get Anna White tattoos when we meet up.
Dude, I mean, I know she gets a lot of flack in this community, but she is a big part of the reason I started getting into this stuff because I remember when we moved to this house, I'm like, man, I want all this furniture for my back patio and stuff, but the prices are just crazy. And so I started looking around for DIY, like, you know, Adirondack chair projects, and she's what popped up. And, man, that's why I bought a miter saw, and that's really why I started building stuff in my garage. So, you know, whatever path leads you into this, I think it's awesome.
I totally agree. One of the things I think is funny about this whole community is that you have your certain people that learn one tidbit of information, and then they go around busting everybody on it. You know what I mean? Like, they'll read something or hear something about, you know, how expansion, contraction, pocket holes, such and such, and then they'll just go around busting people who use pocket holes, and they have a good application, but they're not going to, you know, explode and kill your family and stuff like a lot of the rumors out there.
That's what's always so funny to me is that verb being used, like, your piece is going to explode.
And it's like, it's so dramatic.
No, it's going to, like, crack and maybe warp or cup a little bit. It's not going to explode.
You can film your own Michael Bay movie in your living room.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, man. But, I mean, I think
pocket holes killed my family.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, she's a really good resource. I'm sure she sells a ridiculous amount of Craig jigs, which, you know, that makes sense that she pushes that product. But, you know, it's a really easy system to get started. And then once you fall into it more and more, I think inevitably you'll find, you know, Mark Spagnuolo if you're doing the internet woodworking thing. And then you'll probably start getting into more, you know, fine woodworking stuff. And it's just it's a total rabbit hole, you know. So
yeah.
The
funny thing is pocket holes get so much negative cred and they are a traditional woodworking joinery. They were done in the
1600s. They've been around forever. Yeah, it's
the Craig Jig, but she had the same idea.
Yeah, I think the big problem that a lot of people, a lot of the like fine woodworking guys see is when they use pocket holes for breadboard ends. I think that's like the one thing that everybody always points to when they're dissing on her, and I can understand that because that totally it goes against the whole point of a breadboard. Is if you're screwing it into place with no room for movement, then that's not exactly a good idea.
They get a bad rap, but yeah, I used them on my chest of drawers video, and I mean, I think especially if you're working with like plywood or, you know, any sort of stuff like that where expansion and contraction isn't an issue, there is absolutely no reason why you can't use those.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Jay Bates miter saw station, I think it was 500 pocket holes. And it's super effective because it's all plywood. Yeah. So,
and yeah. Noah built the Ark with pocket holes.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what was that, like Genesis 1937 or something?
Something like that.
And he that's shall
jogger screws.
Behold his Craig jig. All right, so I guess let's get into the main show topic this week, and that is
they exploded.
They exploded.
They exploded and killed a few dinosaurs. That's what called
the, yeah, that's what caused the Ice Age, I think. So let's move into the show topic this week, and that is incorporating metal into your woodworking or just your work in general. So I know metal is kind of intimidating to a lot of people. I think a lot of people assume you need some really fancy equipment to get into it. And we are here to dispel that myth. So who wants to get started with this? What do you guys
actually
have to say?
I saw just today. Oh, now it's killing me. What is his name? The English guy who does all sorts of crazy things, fireworks. And,
oh, dude. Colin Furze.
Video just today.
Yeah, the go-kart.
To make a metal go-kart without a welder, just using basically a drill and a cheapo grinder. Yeah. I'm doing all this metal construction with that.
I watched that while I was eating lunch today.
Really cool just to see with basically not just bolts, drill holes,
and
bolts together.
And he
no
used
welding needed.
Metal plates to kind of reinforce the joints. And that was a great video. I'll throw that in the show notes for sure. I mean, if you don't already watch Colin Furze, you're totally missing out because that dude is a total psychopath and somehow is still alive. And makes. Did you see his underground bunker? Have you seen that video?
Oh, that is cool.
I mean,
that is seriously cool.
Dude,
I want to dig in my backyard right now.
It is insane. It is a true like metal, humongous bunker. It's unreal. Yeah, yeah. So Colin Furze, he's a great person if you are into metal stuff at all. I mean, his video today. He used the most basic tooling ever and built a freaking go-kart. So I think some of the other things we wanted to talk about were, you know, using brass and aluminum and the fact that a lot of the woodworking tools you might already have, they work with those two materials. Those materials are soft enough that you can cut them with your miter saw or I think, James, you were saying you even use your planes on them?
Yeah, you can actually use hand planes to plane aluminum and brass. It will dull the blade faster, but you can do it.
That just sounds like sacrilegious. Like
that. Well, the funny
that's the equivalent of opening a paint can with a chisel. Like it just, I just can't imagine.
My dogs on my bench are aluminum. And I have shaved off about an eighth inch off of all of my dogs because I keep going on the wood and I go down farther until I hit the end of the dog.
I think using hand planes to shave a dog is a completely different tangent.
Yeah, that sounds confusing.
Yes, shaving a dog. I just got that. Thanks.
So I think you definitely need to do a video on that because I really want to see. Well. Just using brass and aluminum. I think that's really cool. I would have never thought of that, but of course it makes sense. I mean, does it leave you with a smooth finish? I mean,
yeah, just like you would with a table saw or a bandsaw.
I guess there's no tear out.
Yeah, as long as one metal is harder than the other, it will scratch the other metal, and it's just simple metallurgy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So another kind of trick you can do with aluminum, and David Picciuto had a super popular video on it, is brazing aluminum. And again, don't need any fancy equipment. He used like a little, basically like a creme brulee torch, and you can assemble a aluminum frame. And he used it for his crazy lifting top coffee table. And, you know, super sturdy for any of the small furniture pieces we're doing. And again, you don't need any sort of expensive welders or anything like that. Yeah, that's another great option.
A YouTube channel that I recently saw, he actually took a 2x4 and drove nails into it, and then he used one of these new saws that will cut through metal and wood, And if you ever seen those, the by Evolution, they're like $150.
They're awesome.
They're dirt cheap, but they work really well, and they'll cut through any metal. And so he drove nails into this 2x4 and then cut off cookies and turned them into coasters. And they looked awesome because you have the metal and the wood.
Yeah.
Cool. Donnie Carter was actually just saying in the live chat, he uses aluminum for turnings, gluing aluminum and wood together in bowls and turning it on a lathe.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, those new Evolution saws, I think, are really, and they're not sponsoring us or anything. They did send me one of their saws, and it's amazing.
I think that counts as sponsoring.
Well, I don't know. They're not paying me to say this, but I've just tried their stuff, and it works well. And it's just cool because it's kind of opened up this world of potential. I mean, if you can have one miter saw for, you know, $150 or something like that, and be able to actually cut steel. I mean, you know, not inch thick solid steel, but any sort of tubing or something like that we're going to be using for furniture bases, it'll blow right through that and then turn around and cut wood. I mean, that is really, really cool.
Or even use reclaimed lumber without fear of hitting a nail.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that was one of my biggest thing with pallet projects, is I was always scared I was going to ruin my blades. And with that type of thing, I just think that's so cool, and definitely lowers the barrier to entry for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I saw Jimmy Duresta. I don't even need to say Duresta. If I say Jimmy, I think it's pretty well assumed who I'm talking about. But I've had like the big DeWalt cold saw for a while, and it's awesome. I love it way more than the abrasive wheels. But man, the thing about those cold saws for cutting metal is the tables are like just like 18 gauge metal, and you start clamping stuff and putting some tension on there, they warp and wobble. They're all of the cold saws I've seen have really cheap, flimsy bases that, after, you know, if you actually use them for a living, they're eventually kind of hard to get squared. I have to use my speed square to get it set to the right angles if I'm doing miter cuts. But the Evolution one, I saw Jimmy use it in one of his videos. Man, it looks like a proper miter saw, and he's cutting metal with it. And that would be a godsend.
That's the one that Bob has too. I mean, so they sent me their cold cutting saw, and it works great. But again, there's no like detents or anything for common angles like a regular miter saw would have. It's much more similar to, I think, like the DeWalt model you're talking about.
Any abrasive
saw I've ever used. And it's just so weird, because why would you not just go ahead and build those detents in there? Because those have got to be super frequently used. I mean, if you want to do any sort of mitered welded frame,
I think they're the same. And I use you have a speed square?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I use that anytime I do, like, well, I don't think I've ever done anything other than 45 degree miters with it. But I mean, I cut every day. I put in my earplugs and go to town on that thing for way too long. The one that I saw Jimmy use, it was, like I said, it was like a proper miter saw. It actually had the blade would rotate and stuff. So that looked like a really cool piece. If I would have seen that before I bought my DeWalt one, I might have given it a shot, because it looks pretty nice.
Yeah, the one thing is, I think the blade on those is pretty small. I know Bob's, I think around the 7-inch mark. So I personally would not want to sacrifice that much cutting, size on the wood side, because I use I have a 12-inch compound sliding miter saw, and I use that crosscut capacity a lot, because I can cut stuff up to like 15 inches wide.
That's crazy.
And
if I had one, I'd only use it for metal stuff, since I already have one. I assume you would too, since you already have that big wood miter saw.
So. Yeah, I might try to change over. I've been just trying to keep the two halves of my shop kind of separated, because once you start getting those metal shavings and stuff into your wood area, it just becomes a real pain in the butt. I've been trying to avoid that at all costs, and I'm lucky to have a big enough garage where I can kind of make that work. And I don't do metal stuff every day. It's maybe once a week for me.
Man,
so
everything in my shop, like all of my screwdrivers with magnetic heads and stuff, I have to if I pull them off the rack, I have to grab a towel or a rag and brush off all the metal shavings. I mean, there's like everything in my shop you can leave a fingerprint on, but it's just.
So how do you deal with that with like finishing? Because I've heard, especially with any kind of open grain woods, like, you know, oak or something like that, they get in the grain and it just becomes a nightmare.
That's actually something I have to deal with quite a bit, because I would say 80 to 90% of what I do is white oak. And especially with the tannin in white oak, if you get any metal into it, it will darken up instantly. And it'll actually ebonize the wood. If you've ever heard of someone using vinegar and iron, it reacts with the tannin in oak and can turn it jet black.
Yeah.
And I have to be very, very careful of that, because I do a lot of tool restores and I actually use vinegar to clean them up. And so I am like flattening soles, or I'm sanding out the iron on the bottom of a plane, and I have to be very careful that I'll cover my oak stock if I'm actually flattening a plane in there, because I don't want the metal shavings and the air to get into it. And I'll then clean up everything completely in the shop before then going back into woodworking.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is something you have to be very careful about, but yeah, that's life. one of the things I would eventually love to do if I had a larger shop, is to actually have a metal working bench and a woodworking bench, because I have one bench right now and I have to be very careful if I'm doing, you know, metal cutting on it and the shavings get into the bench top itself, and the next project I pull on top of the bench might pick those up.
Something interesting, a little offshoot. I heard that that's part of the reason a lot of old white oak stuff, they used, I don't know if it was just white oak, but that's part of the reason they used like bronze and brass fasteners, is because it would actually eat the metal. There's a few species of wood that I believe will actually corrode and cause issues to steel. So they used, I think it was brass, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard that. That's pretty cool.
I think it was oak, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what always makes me kind of stressed, and so I try to keep it basically on my wife's side of the garage. I have all the metal stuff, so it's super messy when she gets out of her car. But it's been working out pretty well so far. So for anyone who wants to get into welding, what are some recommendations? I know, James, you have quite the past in welding. What would you say somebody who maybe wants to incorporate some of these style of pieces into their work, you know, maybe been watching a lot of Jimmy's videos, what some recommendations you'd make if you're just getting started out?
Well, in welding, there are three common paths to take. You have stick, which is probably the simplest and cheapest. Generally, you can pick up an old stick welder for, you know, 50, 60 bucks, or maybe as much as 100 for a decent old one. And then you can get into your flux core, which are the cheaper ones, and you have to worry about gas. You just point and shoot. And then you have your MIG, which you have to think about gas and all the other settings. And so it really kind of depends on what do you want to do. They're all going to be a fairly messy weld, although a flux core is going to be the most messy. And how much do you actually want to learn? If it's something that's structural, I generally tell people use a stick. It's cheap, but you're going to get a really nice penetrating weld. And it takes a little bit to learn, but you know, you're going to have to learn no matter what you do. But if you just want to point and shoot and you want a solid weld every time, then you're probably going to want to invest in a MIG setup, that you have gas as well as the wire being fed into the weld.
What about TIG? I mean, I guess TIG is a little more advanced for the home shop guy.
Well, you know, if you have the money and you plan on doing a decent amount of welding, I would say, you know, jump into TIG. The problem with it is it's going to be the hardest to learn. It's the most expensive, but it's going to give you the best weld. It is the cleanest weld. It is the simplest weld. And you're going to...
Versatile.
Yeah, I mean, you can do almost anything with TIG, and it is extremely clean. There's little to no slag. It is less chance of fire problems, because there's less spatter, and so things aren't jumping all over the place. So, I mean, if you have the money, TIG is fantastic. It's going to be a lot to learn, but,
yeah, especially yeah. I think in a woodworking shop, TIG is pretty sweet because again, all those yeah. reasons you said, I mean, well, being able to weld in the middle of your wood shop. Yeah.
I mean, cause with TIG, you can very easily do aluminum. You can very easily do different types of steel,
stainless.
You can do your stainless. You can even TIG things like brass. Even though you can braze brass, you can TIG it and you get that, that same look you would with laying dimes of aluminum. You can do it with the brass.
Yeah. TIG is pretty sweet, but then there's a lot of other, you know, considerations. You have to be really clean with your kind of weld seam areas and there's a lot more to TIG, whereas MIG or stick, yeah. you know, you just kind of point and shoot and it'll blast through most gunk on the surface.
I mean, there's a certain art. I'm going to stand up. I mean, I passed competencies in all the welds years ago and TIG is great. I wish I had one, but I feel like MIG gets, it's easy to undersell MIG. You can do a lot with a MIG welder and you can get pretty welds. I like to stitch weld, which isn't, you don't get quite the penetration as you do from a continuous weld typically, but you can lay down a pretty, pretty good looking weld with them. And I think the versatility of a, you know, the versatility of a MIG welder, it's quick, it's easy, it's efficient. It's not as intimidating. You know, I would recommend if that's actually what I, when I started building stuff, as a hobby, that's how I started. I started doing metalwork. I started with two things. I started with, a Lincoln 140C MIG welder and a 4.5-inch angle grinder. And those two tools, you can do almost anything with those two tools.
Yep.
But we at the last shop I was at, we built, you know, 3- and 4-story tall Scenic sets, completely out of aluminum. So we'd be talking like 2 or 3 ton of aluminum, all structural welded, and it was all done with MIG welding aluminum. And it can be structural. It just, it's a little bit harder to learn to weld aluminum with MIG, but with steel, it's just point and shoot and you can get a really solid weld.
Yeah. Did you guys use spool?
No, we actually had 50-foot hoses push fed from the machine.
Wow. Crazy.
And so it would push feed aluminum wire 50 feet. And it was,
that's insane.
It was really cool.
Yeah. But yeah, for anybody who's looking to get into it, I think with those two tools, if you get, I mean, and don't, I recommend against getting a, like a super cheap Harbor Freight or Craftsman welder. If you're going to do it, if you really want to get into it, get something decent, get a Miller or a Lincoln, or I think a Thermodynamics, get something that has a decent duty cycle, that has a continuous feed rate. Because if you're trying to, it's just like an instrument. If you try and learn on a piece of crap, it's going to be, you're going to quit. You're going to put it away. It's going to hurt your fingers. It's going to not going to sound good. And you're going to wonder why it's not working for it. Same thing with a welder. If you get a welder that has a poor duty cycle and, you know, the feed rate isn't, you know, if it's not feeding consistently, you're not going to be able to get a good looking weld. And, your encouragement and your enthusiasm is going to go out the window pretty quick. Yeah. So a good welder and also a 4.5-inch, angle grinder, you can get those for $80. I still have the first one I bought. It's a DeWalt $80 grinder. I don't know if they have a couple of them, but I mean, you can get a grinding disc for that. Obviously, you get a cutoff disc for that. You can cut through anything with it. And they also have like the flap discs, which are incredible. And one of the things that I just discovered recently, they have these like they look kind of like a sponge. It's like a really strong sponge and that thing takes mill scale off. You go through them pretty quick, but man, I have never found anything that takes mill scale off faster than those. I'll see if I can find a link to them and post them in the show notes. But I looked for years for an efficient way to remove mill scale and I finally found one. But the trick is not pushing down hard on them because it's spongy. And if you do, it'll throw itself apart. So just the weight of the tool itself.
Hmm. I would like to know what that is too, because that's I just use flap discs for the most part because they're, you know, pretty good. I mean, cleaning up welds, I think a grinding wheel is probably a little more efficient, but then it doesn't leave you with as nice of a surface finish. So I mostly just use a flap disc. And I think, you know, starting out with a decent stick welder, you can do so much, especially with grinding your welds afterwards. I mean, it's not going to make a huge difference.
If you look at Matt Cremona, he did his whole trailer. And then the whole mill is stick welded. But when he had the trailer, all he had was a hot cut saw for cutting tube and a stick welder. And that was just an old beast of a stick that works great.
Yeah, I mean, you can find those old Lincoln, the AC 225 or whatever, the red box on Craigslist for like, you know, $130. And I mean, you do need 230 volt power for it, but man, those things are beasts. You can really weld some serious stuff with that.
Yeah,
I just did some. I just did some really quick digging for anybody listening. It's the Avanti Pro Quick Strip Disc. They're $10 at Home Depot.
Huh.
All right. I will add it to the notes. And if you want to see the show notes, go to craftedpodcast.com/2, the number 2, and that will be where the show notes are for this episode. So I guess the other thing we haven't talked about, which is obviously probably the easiest way to incorporate metal into your work, is black pipe. And that's super hot right now, and it seems like every metal post on Pinterest is using black pipe, but it makes sense because you don't need anything. You literally just have the home center cut it to length and throw some threads on the ends and then just put it together when you get home. It's really, really easy. It is expensive, though. I mean, from what I've seen.
It is.
Yeah,
it's not any cheaper. It's more expensive than welding the equivalent framework.
Yes. Oh, way more.
Those flanges. The trick is figuring out how to do stuff and not using flanges, because those things
add up like crazy.
So fast.
Yep. They're hugely expensive. But that is a good way if you just want to kind of maybe, you know, dip your toes in the water of metal work and see what it's like. Be prepared to get dirty, though. That's the one thing I've learned from metalworking. Get some really good, Gojo or some sort of intense soap so that when you leave the shop, you can clean the ridiculous amount of nastiness off of your hands. 'Cause, man.
A tip, wipe that stuff down with naphtha. That's the solvent to use for that stuff. Yeah, I'm up to speed because I did that video last week, so I'm on my solvent game.
That's funny. So, I guess as far as resources for learning more about welding and getting better, we wrote a couple down here. Jody at Welding Tips and Tricks. That's got to be, I would say, the best resource out there, or at least one of the best for learning how to weld and how to improve your welding. I mean, he is a incredible instructor and just gives away this stuff for free on his YouTube channel. It is just so informative and such good quality. Definitely check him out. Another one is Chuck E. 2009. He is just kind of total opposite of Welding Tips and Tricks, much more just easygoing and if it works, it works kind of thing. But he certainly has that technical knowledge as well. But it's definitely a different kind of style, much more laid back and a little less serious, but he's awesome as well. And then our buddy Douglas at Retro Weld, he's got some great content on learning how to weld and also just, you know, ideas on incorporating welding into your projects. That's obviously, you know, once you learn how to do it, then you want to use it on as many projects as you can. So he's a great resource. Any other people that y'all want to recommend?
No, off the top of my head, that's pretty much, I had some of those contributions, so you kind of wiped me out there.
I know. I had it all written down from our previous discussion. it's just amazing because, I mean, I took a 12-week, once-a-week course at my local tech college on welding and just, you know, like once a week, 4 hours. And I feel like just watching some of these channels for a couple hours, you can learn almost as much for nothing. It's just so cool. There's really no excuse if you're at all interested in that kind of industrial look to furniture. Just go for it. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely very rewarding, and man, you can build some really strong stuff if you get into welding. So I guess let's talk about what we've been watching. You guys have any good stuff this week, or you know, reading or whatever?
I actually have a channel that I just came across, and I don't know why I just came across him, but it is a guy doing stuff. That's the name of his channel.
Oh yeah, he's building
I think
a
it's
canoe.
One of the coolest things. He's commented on my stuff in the past, and after seeing his icon and his face, I'm like, oh yeah, I know you. I have been absolutely blown away by his video quality and the amount of information he gives in such a great time. And his videos are fantastic to watch. Right now he's actually working on a strip built canoe and doing some cool things with that. And, he had built another one in the past that was, he built it while he was going through some problems in his life. And it was kind of a cathartic thing to be out in the shop and spend time doing it. And then he does an entire video of destroying the strip-built canoe, and it is awesome.
Oh,
it
man.
Was absolutely just
that
fantastic.
That was crazy. I could not believe he did that when he did that. Because, man, those things are not cheap. I mean, you're talking $2,000 and hundreds of hours of work. It's crazy. Yeah, his channel is great. He's been doing just really short videos on the process of building another canoe, and I've really enjoyed them because they're just quick. You can consume them. I mean, they're like less than 3 minutes usually. And, you know, for something as overwhelming as building a strip canoe, it's pretty cool. He's got this great style, too. He uses cool music. It reminds me a lot of, like, some Casey Neistat stuff and that kind of thing. But, yeah, he does a great job with it.
Very easy to watch and a great information in a short amount of time.
Totally. How about you, Zach?
Well, I'm always behind on everything, you know, socially. So, Jorg Sprave or Sprave, you guys were telling me he's been around for a long time.
The Slingshot channel?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Dude. I'm like the last person on earth to find him, but
it's kind of envious though, because you can go back and watch his ridiculous catalog of videos. I mean, just ridiculous.
It's so awesome. And what I think makes that channel is his excitement for what he's doing. It's like watching a kid at a
let me show
at
you
Christmas
peaches.
Yeah. And it's like this little kid making the most, I mean, he's not a little kid, but just his mentality, he's making these unbelievably destructive devices. They're just, I mean, that air cannon just blew my mind. Oh, and like when he shoots them, you can see how happy and excited he is. It's hilarious. I mean, I liken him to the hydraulic press guy. Just what makes that channel is just hearing the guy laugh when he smashes stuff. I mean, I don't care what he does. I just like,
you should see the series between him and the hydraulic guy.
They should.
No, they did a series with the two of them.
Oh really?
And, Jorg, built a rubber rolic press. So it's rather than a hydraulic, it's a 50 pound steel bar that was turned into the press, and it was forced down with rubber. I think he was saying something like 900 pounds worth of rubber draw. And so this thing is basically launching this 40 pound weight down at an item.
That's crazy. And do they both laugh incredible. Hysterically at the end together?
I don't remember if they combine that or not.
I need to find this because this could be like the best video ever.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. That sounds like YouTube all-time greatest right there. Those are two ridiculous dudes.
One of the, like that air rifle he was making, I think he said he pumped it up to 3,500 PSI.
Yeah. I think the newest one
that's
is
not
the
number
40.
You hear before PSI. Like, that's not, I mean, your car tire's like 35 and it holds your car up.
Yeah.
And imagine that much weight shooting a 16 ounce arrow.
Well, especially having the kickback it has. I mean, he's, you know, I'm guessing 270, 300 pounds, big guy and all muscle. And it actually has the kickback that knocks him backwards. It's just crazy. Incredible.
Yeah. That was like, I didn't make it out to the shop until like noon a couple of days ago. So I was just, yeah.
That's good funny. Stuff.
Yeah. Inspiration comes from everywhere.
Well, there, yeah. You know, it's just so cool to see guys doing other types of making, and it's always inspirational. You know, I mean, whatever it is, you pick up these little weird things that they do, and I mean, like watching that Colin Furze video today. I mean, I'm not going to build a go-kart probably anytime. I mean, probably. It kind of made me want to build one, but I'm probably not going to. But, you know, it just, you think outside the box, and I think it's really easy when you have a nice shop to get caught up in just assuming that people know how to, or people have the equipment to do these things the way you're doing them, and doing it a little simpler sometimes is really, yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah. For sure.
I agree. I went to a flea market last week and got some goodies. And one of the things I picked up was like an old, looks like an Opinel or something, old knife.
Yeah.
That's kind of battered. But I thought, man, this will be cool. I'm going to sharpen this thing like razor sharp and I'll use it. I used it and it'll probably be in the video for the chandelier. I used it to cut the wires today. But I was sharpening that thing and it's just, I mean, it looks like it was dug out of like a Roman tunnel or something. It's just old and it's cool though. But I was thinking when I was sharpening that, I'm like, that would be a cool channel. Like make it sharp and somebody just have a channel and they just like take submissions and sharpen them razor sharp. It's like, that would be an awesome channel. I would watch that, like a pipe wrench or a spoon, like just these random, I just thought that'd be funny.
That would be ridiculous. Well, I've been watching just too much to even name, so I'm actually going to go to a couple books. So I haven't even opened them, but I'm just going to shout them out anyway because they look awesome. So first is Jimmy Dress's book, the, you know, Workshop Mastery book that just came out like this week.
That just came out.
Yeah, I ordered it in, I think, like June or something. It's been just on indefinite pre-order, basically. So
yeah.
I'm really excited. The other one was I bought this 3-volume set of Tej Fried, or however the heck you pronounce his name, his 3 books on woodworking, and it's insane how much content is in there. It was like $80 for the 3 books, and it comes with like an hour and a half long DVD about him. So I'm pretty excited to dig into that because there's like an entire book on joinery and like an entire book on furniture and just really cool stuff. And obviously I love the Danish modern stuff, so his style is right up my alley. So I'm sure I will pick up quite a bit. It seems to be like this is basically almost like a textbook in the way that it's laid out. So they are definitely really nice looking. And really not that terribly expensive for what it is. I'm looking on Amazon now. It's $67 for 3 sizable books and a DVD, which that's pretty reasonable to me. So,
yeah,
that's my recommendation.
It's weird to think. I was reading a book the other day, and it's weird to think, like, if I would have told myself 10 or 15 years ago, like, these are the things you're going to do that are going to make you happy. Like,
oh yeah.
reading a book that has like poorly drawn illustrations of like sticking wood together. And I'm like smiling and it's like, that's my idea of a good night.
Yeah. Like, ooh, that's brilliant. It's like, I feel like I'm really, really old already at 28. I feel like I could be like 67 based on what I do on a day-to-day basis. Well, I guess we got anything else we want to chat about?
I like the idea of the favorite tool of the week and stuff. We ran out of time for that last week, but I think with a little editing, we have time for it.
Oh, we definitely have time for it. What's your favorite tool this week?
Well, I had the note from last week. I want to put a warning out there to everybody. I bought the for planing the edges of boards, I bought a little tri-square. It's a little 3-inch tri-square from Crown Tools. It looks really nice. They have it at like Woodcraft and stuff, and it's 20-something bucks. They are not accurate. Don't buy it. I bought it. I went home. I sharpened some of my plane irons and used it as a reference. I kept on going, man, this is not straight. And I held it up to some other things that were 90 degrees, and it wasn't straight. And then I measured it with my bevel gauge, and it wasn't 90 degrees. And it's close. But if you're going to spend, you know, $20-$30 on a tri-score, you want that thing to be 90 degrees.
Yes.
So especially if you're using it as a reference to, you know, playing the joints on your board. So and then I went online and read about it, and everybody else has the same gripe. So that's I just wanted to put that on people's radar. But for my favorite tool of the week, I am going to say my Speed Square. That thing is so awesome. I use it for setting the miters, like I said earlier, setting the the miters on my chop saw, my cold saw. You can set it straight to 90 degree cuts, 45 degree cuts. I use them all the time when I'm welding stuff to reference 90 degrees, 45 degrees, even for, if I'm on the chandeliers that I built today for the threaded things that I welded on, just to make sure that I was welding it perfectly vertical. I use that to square it up. And also, there is a video, I'll put it in the show notes, but man, there's so many uses for that tool that I never knew existed. You can reference almost any angle with it. You can use it to mark your boards instead of a marking gauge at quarter-inch increments. It has a nice little recess for your pencils in there. There's all sorts of stuff that you can use those for that I never knew about. So I'll post that in the show notes. But Speed Square, that's my tool for the week.
Oh, Speed Squares are the bomb for sure. I mean, that's,
yes,
if you do not own one, you
get
that was like the first thing when my dad and I when I moved to this house and we built those Anna White Adirondack chairs that weekend, that was like the first thing he bought me was a Speed Square that weekend. He was like, you will use this more than like any tool in your shop.
Yes,
and it totally right.
And get the Swanson metal ones. I think they're aluminum or something. I recommend those over
better than the plastic, because I've melted the plastic ones while I was welding. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely know that from experience. I would also shout out Woodpeckers and their squares, man. Those things, they're spindy, but man, they are...
They're sweet.
Amazing. I mean, and just sexy, you know? Like, they just look good. They're anodized aluminum. I just love anodized aluminum, always have, and man, they are really, really slick, and they've got some cool features too. Oh man, they're great. Their squares they're really cool. Their squares have these interesting little feature where they have a, I guess like a little lip, and so you can kind of put the square up on the edge of the board and it'll kind of hold itself there. Like, that's one of my most annoying things about the compound. I guess it's called a compound square, the adjustable square. You know, it doesn't stay in place when you hold it up there. So you need to have one hand on the square at all times. Well, the Woodpecker squares stay in place once you place it up on the edge of a board, which is just useful. I mean, just ridiculously useful.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah. All their stuff is just really well designed. I mean, definitely spindy, but I don't think, I mean, it's like anodized aluminum. I don't think there's any destroying it. It's just super, super bomb-proof. And I have a couple of their things, and man, their drill press table I have, it's amazing. Like, yeah, everything they make that I've used is really just top-notch. So how about you, James? What's your favorite tool of the week?
Well, my favorite tool of the week is usually... It's not my favorite tool at all. It's one of the bottom of the list in my shop. It is a Stanley number 244, and that is a miter saw or miter box. But it's not a normal miter box where you would normally see angles on it. You know, you would see your 90 to zero. It has the numbers 4, 5, 6, 8, 12, and 24. And the first time I saw that, I couldn't figure out what those meant until I suddenly realized those were how many numbers you would want in sections for a section bowl or rings.
Clever.
And so you just simply set it. I want seven sections. So you put it into the 7D tent. You put your board in there and you cut it and it's dead on. Hmm. And I am making rings for a bowl, and it is so stinking slick. I just set it and go. And it has absolutely no other use than that. I mean, if I set it at 4, I know it's at 45 degrees, so I can cut it 45 degrees or I can cut it 90. But other than that, all the other ones are, some really weird angle. That's and so it's really kind of a cool, useless though. Saw, but for that one use, it is fantastic.
Interesting. Yeah, I could have used that. I was cutting pieces of plywood to make an octagon last week for an upcoming build. And, I mean, that's pretty easy, too, because it's just, basically 45 mm-hmm. divided by 2. But that's pretty cool. I think Kyle like Tooth needs one of those.
Well, it's a handsaw, so it's slow. But, I had it at 24-segment ring. And so it's some crazy weird angle. I don't even know what it is, but I put it in the 24 and I made all my cuts and put all 24 pieces together, and it was dead on, absolutely accurate all the way around. And
that's really
cool. I love the tool.
That is really cool. I mean, if you had a good crosscut saw, you could knock those out relatively quickly. I mean,
I made over 100 pieces today for the bowl, and most of that was Paduke and Purple Heart, and so it's pretty hard, so I probably have to sharpen the saw again, but it went through all of it pretty well.
Man.
About 2 hours worth of cutting.
That's not bad at all. I mean, because those tiny little pieces on, like, the miter saw are really awkward. I mean, not fun. Usually they shoot off in some random direction, and
yeah.
You have to find them in the back of your
shop.
This
saw is flesh sensing. I will stop cutting if
yes,
it touches
you
flesh.
Will stop cutting if it cuts you. That's funny. Well, cool. Well, I think let's go ahead and wrap it up for this week. So again, if you guys want to learn more about the podcast, check out our website. It's craftedpodcast.com. We stream live every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And if you want to help us out, leave us a rating and review on iTunes. That is the number one way you can help us besides just sharing the show with your friends and family. All right, guys. Well, thanks again for being on the podcast. And until next week, happy building.
Catch you later.
Have a week.